Treasures of wisdom, 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 treasures of wisdom.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Marhaba, marhaba, marhaba. Welcome, dear viewers of Madani channel. As usual, dear viewers, it's the Treasures of Wisdom program. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Only through the grace and mercy of our Rabb Azza wa Jal and through the blessings of Nabi Kareem Rauf al-Rahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have sent peace and blessings upon his illustrious family and noble companions alayhim wa ridwan. In today's episode and program, it is a continuation of last week's episode and program as we had discussed Amire Ahle Sunnat's blessed words of advice, dear viewers. And yes, we are to continue with the very same discussion. The famous book, which is on the website of Da'wat Islami, a beautiful booklet with regards to 786 words of advice by His Eminence. Subhanallah. What a beautiful book. And together to have the discussion, mashallah, live on air, we have our honorable Maulana Abdul Qadir At-Tari Ansari Damat Fuyuzuhum with us. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we're hoping, Maulana Sahib, that today as well we will be able to explore and go through those wonderful Madani pearls of Amir al-Sunnat, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. How is Maulana Sahib's tabiyat, by the way?
Alhamdulillah. It's always a pleasure being with you. I don't often get the chance, but alhamdulillah, this is the day, the beautiful day of Wednesday when the du'as are accepted. Alhamdulillah, may our du'as as well.
Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Yes, dear viewers, advice is very important and beneficial for a believer. At times we may not need the advice, at times we don't want the advice, but the Quran had suggested that advice is good for the believers. Subhanallah. To consult and make mashwara is part of our Islam, dear viewers. And thus Amir al-Sunnat has left the Ummah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with such a beautiful nasiha and advice, dear viewers, in this wonderful booklet, which is on the website of Da'wat Islami, 786 advices, subhanallah. This advice is for us, for our children, for our kids, subhanallah. And last week we have mentioned a few, and today, ajbi inshallah, azza wa jalla, we're going to go through a few of those advices with regards to different parts of one's iman and life, dear viewers. For example, subhanallah, what we're going to be discussing now are the advices which His Eminence has given in order for a person knowing how to respect Allah Azza wa Jalla and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can one strengthen his iman and his faith as a believing Muslim, brother or sister? So, alhamdulillah, here we go, dear viewers. We are going to be starting off with these points, mashallah. Amir al-Sunnat had stated that being born in the nation of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an invaluable bounty from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is a great ni'mah that you are from amongst the ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, the highest throne is the throne of servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is his nasiha and his advice for generations to come. That if you want to be successful, he says, the highest throne is the throne of servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says, the rulership that is granted in servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not over bodies, but it is over hearts, Mawlana Sahib. It is over the hearts. The rulership that is granted in servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not going to be given to the body parts of the person, but rather, subhanallah, this rulership is over the hearts of the entire mankind, dear viewers of Madani channel. Subhanallah, the entire humanity, you know, their hearts and their souls and everything that they have, Mawlana Sahib, is ruled by this love, which is for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to elaborate, inshallah, azza wa jalla, dear viewers, but just another two more of this nasiha, inshallah, azza wa jalla, and then we will try to further understand them. It's very important for us to know. Amir al-Sunnat says, if the throne of servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is attained, then no throne, yani he says worldly position or designation is needed, Mulana sir. If one is able to attain the maqam of servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if this was attained successfully, Amir-e Ahl-e Sunnah says, then no other worldly position or designation is ever needed. Because why? You have this position, and that is the throne of servitude, subhanallah. And then he says, servitude to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sacred Ahl-e Bayt, and the honorable awliyas is the real freedom. Allahu Akbar. Only servitude to these personalities, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Mulana Sahib, the Ahl Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the honorable awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the real freedom. Meaning, becoming de ghulam means you are free in the dunya, Mulana Sahib. And if you are not the ghulam and the servants of these personalities, it means then you are a real ghulam and servant of the dunya itself, Mulana Sahib. Allah raham farmaya. But what beautiful advices, Mulana Sahib, our Amir Smith has given us, subhanAllah. Starting off with the very first point that we had mentioned, that the highest throne is the throne of servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we can understand this point first, this nasiha which Amir Smith has given, then it will be easier for us to understand the other points which came about, Munana yeah. Sahib. How would Munana Sahib further explain these Madri pearls to us, Munana Sahib?
The highest throne, it can be translated in the words of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat by saying, Sare ucho se ucha samajhiye ise, hai uche se ucha hamara nabi. Subhanallah. The highest, whatever threshold you regard as the highest, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his station is even above that.
Kya baat hai Madina?
And
Subhanallah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his stature in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the shura have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most supreme. And Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, when he was asked about describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, just as the creator who created him is unique, likewise is in the creation Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands most supreme and unique.
Aye.
In few words, subhanallah. And they say that, meaning whatever people that are there in the world, dunya mein ihtiram ke qabil hain jitne log, main sabko manta hoon magar Mustafa ke baad. Meaning the station of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the highest.
Kya baat?
And when it comes to his servitude, being his khadim, sahaba ikram, they used to wear this as the badge of honor. Just like how in today's world, see, if you are serving in the president's office, and you tell people, I work for the president, and you say it with pride. And here, alhamdulillah, the king of all kings, subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they served him. And Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would be proud of that. And at times, he would even show to people, yes, look at what I have, subhanallah, that's the dastarkhan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He would even show them its miracles. Allahu Akbar. And then there was a king in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the king of Abyssinia, King Najashi, who alhamdulillah embraced Islam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to call him his brother. He didn't come and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah, but he expressed his wish and desire. He said, if all of this I wasn't responsible for running the kingdom and so on, I would love to come and serve the sandals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the highest level of servitude that the kings of the world, they wish that they could make khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah. Acha Ala Hazrat Azim ul Barkat Parwan Aisha bi Risalat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he taught us the way a believer should demonstrate his love and muhabba, respect at the court of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Mu'asab, he further concretes these type of statements in his ash'ar, and he gives us the message that you should be the beggar at the door of that personality on whose door even those who are rich, Mulana Sahib, are also found begging at the astana and at the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because everyone is looking for barakah and blessings, dear viewers of Madani Channel. Everyone wants to be on the righteous path. And here, Amir al-Sunnah says so beautifully, and this is just as Mu'asab have mentioned it. He says, servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, if you become a captive of the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will become wealthy without money, and inshallah azza wa jalla, you will also gain the wealth of inner peace.
Okay.
If Amiri al-Sunnah says, if you become a captive of the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, aap wahan pe girift ho jaye unki muhabbat mein sunnaton ko apnate hue, subhanallah, you know, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam blindly, dear viewers, without asking questions, and then you will have the wealth of this world and you will have the inner peace as well, subhanallah. Now, this is what Ala Hazrat is teaching us about the court of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we all know, dear viewers. He says,
Us gali ka gada hume jisse Us gali ka gada hume jisse
उस गली का गधा हूं मैं जिसमें मांगते ताजदार फिरते हैं मौलाना साहब.
Also brings to my mind the recitation of the durood in the court of Rasulullah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Durood e taj
ji,
in which the pious buzurg who has alhamdulillah
Jee.
Who has brought forward this beautiful durood in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says wa jibrilu khadimuhu.
Mm-hmm.
That is the servitude of Rasulullah.
Subhanallah.
The Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam is the Khadim Allah.
Kya baat hai Madine ki, subhanallah. And then, Mawlana Sahib, we have those parables of Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an, Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal Habshi radiallahu an, and see how their fortune had smiled at them, for they were the real Khadim of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How a Khadim should be, how a devotee should behave, how the attitude of a lover should be, you can learn it from the blessed life of these real heroes of Islam, Mawlana Sahib, subhanallah. Furthermore, Amir al-Sunnat now, Mawlana Sahib, advises about Islam and Sharia. Now, these are those things which we lack, and Amir al-Sunnat has advised with regards to those important aspects of life. If you want to be a good believer, wonderful advice is, he says, Sharia will not follow you. You should follow the laws of Sharia. He says, a Muslim is bound to carry out every affair according to Sharia. Now, these are those points, Masa, which you did mention last week. And some of the new points and advices of Amir al-Sunnat, he says, we have to nurture a sensitive disposition in order to act upon the Sharia. Now, this is something, Mawasab, where a lot of people are attentive to the Sharia and they would adhere to the Sharia, but they are not sensitive in this matter, Mawasab. There's a difference. And Nigrani Shura, all Arakini Shura, subhanAllah, especially Nigrani Shura, and the tarbiyat of Amir al-Sunnat is such that we have found all Arakini Shura very sensitive with regards to the Sharia, Mawasab. And this is what Bapajan is saying, Amir al-Sunnat is saying, we have to nurture a sensitive disposition in order to act upon the Sharia. So can Mawlana Sahib, inshallah, further elaborate on this matter with regards to how can a person, nurture a sensitive disposition in this regard, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, Sayyidi. Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he used to weigh everything on the scale of Sharia. Before he would do anything, he would first weigh it in the light of truth, on the scale and the system of Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba ikram, they would look at everything, whether it's halal or it's haram.
Definitely.
And they taught the whole world, this is the Sharia of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after them, the awliya ikram, they spread this message throughout the world, that if there is anything you are doubtful about, that's why in Islam, the Sharia discourages us to eat that which is doubtful. It is not haram. It may be halal, but there is a doubt in it. Even abstain from that, subhanallah. And Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, he teaches us in Faizan al-Sunnat, he says, halal food, must consume it. But when there's doubt in it, abstain from that, subhanAllah. So it is his advice again, his emir, subhanAllah, that is safeguarding us against that which is doubtful. Doubtful is something that many of us are indulged in it. Now, in our current days, people take that scenario where something is doubtful to be very light, where they are very lenient about it. That, you know what, it's not haram, but I'm 100% sure whether it's halal. If there is doubt, give it the benefit of doubt. And he is stopping us from that. Don't give it the benefit of doubt until you are certain that this is actually halal for me.
Now, to substantiate what Mansab has just said, it just came to my mind at this very moment as to how did our Imam, the Imam of millions of Hanafi, spend whatever was there from the earnings for the day because of not disclosing that one defect of that item to the customer. And he invested that entire profit into a sadaqah. And that was done simply because his business partner, who was a great imam of his time as well, a learned scholar, did not disclose the defected item to the buyer. Thus, when Imam got back, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala had learned that the defected item was not said to the person who purchased it. Dear viewers, he had taken the earnings of the day and he had given it as charity in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, just to abstain from doubts, simply because that which was defected was not said to the buyer. So basically the buyer has purchased something that he does not know that when he's going to go and have a look at, it will be defected. It is not the right stuff that he has paid for. So subhanAllah, to protect his iman and faith and sawab and all of that, subhanAllah, how the imam taught his followers that when you have a doubt, this is what you need to do. Allahu Akbar. Or this is what you should do. And this is where the battle of shaitan and mu'asab, you know, good and bad, begins in the heart of a person. People start believing, but nobody caught me out as yet. It's fine to continue. But that is why Amir al-Sunnah then further on in his advices, dear viewers, he says, Sharia is our standard. Sharia is our yardstick, our standard, our criterion. He says, whatever Sharia declared permissible is permissible. And whatever Sharia has declared as impermissible is impermissible.
SubhanAllah.
This is the laws of Islam, dear viewers of Madini Channel. This is how our Islam is and this is how we're supposed to be operating. But unfortunately, Mu'asab, this is not the case.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it so clear. He is the one to show us the light. In his light of Sharia that he has given us, he made it apparent what's haram and what's halal. 100%. And he said in his Mubarak hadith, al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin.
Right.
What's lawful is clear and what's unlawful is clear. What more do we need for the sake of motivation that this is the right thing? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who gave us our kalima, he is telling us this is the right thing to do.
SubhanAllah, subhanAllah.
And despite that, we go the wrong way.
Allahu Akbar. So there has to be a way, Munasab, that we can work around and we should understand. So I think every person should make himself bound to follow the Sharia, Munasab, because rich or small, black or white, poor or rich, makes no difference. Everyone is equally bound to follow the laws of Islam. The laws have been put in place, no matter which country you reside in, no matter what situation you may be in. Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is the creator of this planet, has designed the laws such that wherever you live in the world, it will fit you well and you will attain one destination, and that is Jannah, subhanAllah. No matter what sins you have in your country, no matter what situations you have in your country, no matter what temptations are there in your city, in your vicinity, if you follow the Sharia, no matter what problem you may have in your life, you will still be on the right direction. And that is the direction towards Jannah, dear viewers, towards the obedience of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sharia is our standard to measure everything. What is declared as permissible, Amir al-Sunnah says is permissible, and what is declared as impermissible is impermissible. Do not debate on this matter, Mulana Sahib. Yes. What happens is that people, for their own convenience, if a verdict shows as incorrect, a person should not do this to suit our needs, Mulana Sahib, then people go around looking for other verdicts which can make it possible for them to do what they want to do. Can Mu'asab shed light on this matter as well? Is it allowed for people to do that, to look for various other types of reasons? And actually from sources which are also sometimes very weak, Mu'ana Sahib, how shaitan can actually play with a person?
Sayyidi, what's lawful and what's unlawful, right? This yardstick is given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we are opposing that idea, we are opposing the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so to say, indirectly. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you cannot become a believer until your desires become subservient to that which I have brought.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu
Meaning
Akbar.
We have to change our desire to suit the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clearly in the light of this hadith, and not the other way around. Twist the Sharia to bring it to the level of our desires.
Allahu Akbar. Very important thing you have mentioned, Mulana Sahib. And then, dear viewers, Amir al-Sunnah says the religion of Islam, the deen of Islam, discourages discord and chaos. But Islam encourages love, peace, and brotherhood. What a beautiful nasiha and message by His Eminence. He says the religion of Islam discourages discord, argumentation, squabbles, fights, and this fitna and fasad and chaos, which people like to do, people enjoy. Islam only encourages one thing, and that is love, jihad, muhabba, peace, tranquility, and brotherhood, togetherness. If this is what Islam is encouraging, and we as being Muslims are not practicing what Islam is encouraging us to do, and we are breaking instead of making, dear viewers of Madani Channel, then how would our du'as be answered? How would we look in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal? That we say we are Muslims from the tongue, but from our actions we are doing that which Shaitan wants us to do. Because Islam only encourages love and muhabba, peace, not disunity, arguments, fights, quarrels. Ji Mulana Sahib.
Sayyidi, the Buzurgani Deen, their mission, alhamdulillah, they taught us this Islamic value. And this value is coming down to us from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he said the purpose of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival, one of the maqasid of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to bring the humanity together. Tu baraye wasl kardan,
kya baat,
ne baraye fasl kardan. Ya Rasulullah, you have come to join the hearts. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, and when he went to Madina Munawwara, Aus and Khazraj, there used to be two great tribes of Madina that never used to be on the same page. There was always fighting, bloodshed among them. But when he went there, they became brothers, subhanAllah. The Muhajireen and the Ansar, Sahaba, there was somebody tried to put fuel, you know, in between, to put fire in between the relationship of the Muhajireen and the Ansar, the enemies of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made them such brothers that they shared everything equally. Ansar at times, they would even work and give the profit to their Muhajirin brothers, subhanAllah. Such was their brotherhood and unity, Allahu Akbar. And then coming down to the Awliya Ikram, same teaching was passed on. Khaja Gharib Nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he brought the tribes together. He brought those caste differences that used to be in the pre-Islamic era.
Right.
He came and abolished all of that and showed the unity of Islam, subhanAllah. Wherever the Muslim is in the entire world, we are unanimous as one. And this is clearly shown in the plains of Makkah. That when the Hujjaj go, they are wearing one garb, one type of uniform, and that uniform is towards the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each one chanting in the same voice, in the same language, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. And then the same thing was taught to the believers, alhamdulillah. Baba Fariduddin Ganjashakar, rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, somebody gave him a gift, a pair of scissors. So he said, he wouldn't refuse gifts, because accepting gifts is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it was just to teach the muridin, the devotees, a lesson that don't give this as a gift, but rather bring to me a needle and a thread. So they were puzzled as to why. I mean, needle and thread, if you go to buy needle and thread, it will cost you maybe a few pennies. But to buy a pair of scissors is expensive. I was giving him expensive gifts, and people like that. And he is asking for something that's cheap. One small needle and a thread. I said, let me explain to you. The job of a pair of scissors is to cut and sever. But the job of needle and thread, to join the two pieces together. Mm. And my purpose of coming here is that to bring the people together, bring the hearts together.
Allahu Akbar. So this is the level of seriousness, Prophet. Mm-hmm. Our pious elders and predecessors, subhanAllah, left no stone unturned. How beautifully Mulana Sahib mentioned this, Allahu Akbar, and so many thoughts come to mind right now. And this is the teachings of Islam. For those who have accepted Islam and are trying to practice Islam, Mubarak. For those who have been born as Muslims, we are still trying to practice all these that have been said and are still being said, dear viewers. We have to mold ourselves into this that we are discussing right now. The Sahaba Ikram, Ali Muridwan, who were the champions in mending and saving things from getting broken, especially the hearts that get shattered so fast, due to the difficulties of the world. Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu, taken an oath, I would not support this person who has slandered my daughter. He took part in the accusation of accusing Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha for being part of some mischief. Astaghfirullah ala a'udhu billah. But this is the summary of the discussion, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, that he radiallahu anhu taken an oath that this person whom I'm supporting financially is supporting the enemies against my daughter. I take an oath not to support this person financially. Thus, a verse was revealed in the Quran. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا. Allahu Akbar. And this is the summary of the ayah, dear viewers of Madinah Channel. This verse of the Quranic part, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had called Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu anhu and said to him, that don't you like to forgive and forbear? Because don't you like Allah must forgive you as well? So this means that subhanAllah, though that person had hurt you with his comments, with his talks, he had said something which is not true, it's incorrect. But it doesn't mean that now you should stop the good that you were doing to the person because that person has done wrong to you. This is the teachings of Islam. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spread in Makkatul Mukarramah, and people had stoned him. People had pelted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for spreading the true message of Islam. The true spirit and essence of this message, dear viewers, is about brotherhood, unity, muhabba, and love. And the evidence of this is, yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not lift the sword the moment he announced his prophethood.
Subhanallah.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken the sword to fight against the people who attacked Islam after the age of almost 53, Mulana Sahib, 54, 55. At that age, usually when you and I would think of retiring in South Africa, after the age of 50, you would think of retiring. This is the age when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had actually been commanded to protect and defend, because those people did not stop their tyrannies, Mulana Sahib. Yes. So this is Islam. Ki join. Thus, it's for this reason. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in one gathering, did not want to make the dua when he was requested to make a dua in a gathering, a large gathering. Before making this dua, and usually when somebody would request you to make dua, Mawasab, it doesn't take us a second to lift our hands and make dua. But when this companion was asked to make dua, unhone kaha, theek hai, main dua kar leta hun, lekin usse pehle ek announcement hai. Wo to sun lo. What is the announcement? If there is anyone in this gathering that likes to break, please remove yourself from this gathering. Please move yourself from this gathering. And there was a person who moved himself, and he removed himself. He went out of the gathering. He went to reconcile with his aunt. His aunt said to him, go back and ask him what was the hikmat behind this. And then when he came back and he asked, Ya Sayyidi, aapne to jaane ko kaha tha, the one who has this khaslat or has this quality of breaking, he should leave. And I have the problem because I have bitterness with my aunt. And I recall that. So I left. But now my aunt had sent me back to you, ki aap ye to farmaya ki aapne kyu aisa farmaya. What was the reason for you to say this? And this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stated, he says, I heard from our Aqa and Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who breaks relations, his duas are not answered. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said to this companion, to this friend, to this young man, that's why I made this announcement. So that if there's anyone because of whom our duas will not be answered, that person rather leave, because we are making dua to Allah azza wa jalla. We have needs and desires. We have situations around us and we need Allah to accept our dua. Now, because of that one person who breaks family ties, because of that person, our dua must not be answered. Thus, I made an announcement. Subhanallah. So Islam is so sensitive on this matter of mending. That's why there is a verse in the Quran that says, be mindful about your blood relations, dear viewers. Your father, your mother, your aunts, your uncle, your auntie, from either sides, your siblings. All these are blood relations. Be very mindful about it. especially when you have to give inheritance, Maulana Sahib. People who hoard the money, people who hold back the rights of others, and you're holding back the rights of that person who's closest to you in rishta, in relation. And the Quran had said, be very mindful about this, because the closer the rishta, the more responsibilities are there, dear viewers. May Allah Kareem have mercy on our souls, and may we understand these matters. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, salatu wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Nabi Allah, wa sallam alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana Sahib, at this point, as we have just passed the mark of after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm just thinking about this beautiful kalam, Subhanallah, Yadi Nabi ka Gulshan Mehka Mehka lagta hai. Subhanallah, bada pyara kalam hai. Has Maulana Sahib heard this kalam before as well?
Very seldom.
Seldom, yeah. Alhamdulillah. Today we're going to be watching this kalam on our screens, inshallah, inshallah, together with our viewers of Madani channel. Brother Ashfaq Madani and Hasneen Madani, inshallah, together will be reciting this beautiful kalam. Yadi Nabi ka Gulshan Mehka Mehka lagta hai. Bada pyara kalam hai, ise zarur suniyega. And when we do return, inshallah, azza wa jal, we are to continue with the very same advices by His Eminence Amir al-Sunnat Damat Fuyuzuhum. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka, mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka, mehka lagta hai.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka, mehka lagta hai.
Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Naam-e-Muhammad kitna meetha, meetha lagta hai. Naam-e-Muhammad kitna meetha, meetha lagta hai. Pyare Nabi ka zikr bhi humko pyara lagta hai. Pyare Nabi ka zikr bhi humko pyara lagta hai.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka, mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai. Lab par naghme salle ala ke, haathon mein parcham. Lab par naghme salle ala ke, haathon mein parcham. Dekho to sarkar ka mangta kaisa lagta hai. Dekho to sarkar ka mangta kaisa lagta hai.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka, mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai. Aankhon mein mazagh ka surma, Sartaha ka taaj. Aankhon mein mazagh ka surma, Sartaha ka taaj. Kaise kahun rehmat wala hum, jaisa lagta hai. Kaise kahun rehmat wala hum, जैसा लगता है
याद नबी का गुलशन महका लगता है महफिल में मौजूद है आका ऐसा लगता है
वास कुतुब अब्दाल कलंदर सब उसके मोहताज गौस कुतुब अब्दाल कलंदर सब उसके मोहताज मेरा दाता हर दाता का दाता लगता है मेरा दाता हर दाता का दाता लगता है
याद नबी का गुलशन महका लगता है महफिल में मौजूद है आका ऐसा लगता है
औदना की सेज सजी है عرش بری پہ آجو ادنا کی سیج سجی ہے عرش بری پہ آج حق کا دلارا باندھ کے سہرا دولہا لگتا ہے حق کا دلارا باندھ کے سہرا دولہا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
آؤ سنا اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات آؤ سنائے اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے
Subhanallah. Welcome back, dear viewers. And this was a powerful kalam that we were listening to by our Ashfaq Madani and Hasnain Attari Sallamahul Bari. May Allah Kareem accept. And this was a kalam. Yaad-e Nabi ka gulshan mehka mehka lagta hai. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We need to, subhanallah, increase our love and connection, devotion to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Increase our sunnah that we follow. Of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will aid and help in strengthening one's iman, faith, and connection. Inshallah, azza wa jal. We were discussing connection with Sharia, your relationship, and establishment of iman in the heart, and how can one further make this concrete so that you could practice Islam. Subhanallah. So we are actually going through the advices of Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Fuyuzuhum. Alhamdulillah. One advice which Amir al-Sunnat has given, or actually many advices, there are actually 12. Pieces of advice with regards to the companions and religious elders. And His Eminence says, the glory of Sayyidatina Bibi Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha is greater than the number of stars and dust particles. Subhanallah. Here, Amir al-Sunnat has made us understand that this is that maqam which is beyond comprehension. So just as you cannot count the stars, nor can you count the dust particles, her maqam is even higher than that, greater than that. So one should never ever dwell in debates with regards to these personalities. What do you say, Mulana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah.
Firstly, her stance as what she is, what's her relationship with the Ummah, if Mahasab can further elaborate, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. First of all, she is our mother.
Allahu Akbar.
And I don't know of anybody who can stand anyone talk one word out of line against their mother.
Allahu Akbar.
And this is the stance we have. She is our mother in all its senses, because she is the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are the children of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. She is our spiritual mother, alhamdulillah. And just as no son would stand and just look if anybody says one word out of line against our mothers, same stance we should have. And the fact that among the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, this is for our Islamic sisters as well, that we men, we alhamdulillah, there are many narrations, ahadith narrated by the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding our laws pertaining to the fiqh matters.
Jee.
And there were many Sahaba who narrated the ahadith. But among women, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, she is the only one, any woman of Ansar, Muhajireen, those women, alhamdulillah, who were the Sahabiyat, they would come to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala and they would ask her. If they wanted to ask anything to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would ask her, and she will then in turn present the case to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all the matters, like how, let's say if there is a grand mufti in our area, and all the queries, Islamic queries, they go to him. Similarly, all the queries from all the women would go to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu
ta'ala. Allah.
And she was the muftiya, and Sayyidi Ala Hazrat says, muftiya char millat pila ko salam, referring to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And mashallah, our ustaz, Murasab, she remember, he used to tell us that her Arabic was eloquent, mashallah. Her knowledge of Arabic literature, her knowledge of ahadith, amongst the top 10 Sahaba who narrated most of the ahadith, one of them is Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa
radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Subhanallah. And this shows as to how much she contributed to our knowledge of our beautiful deen of Islam.
Subhanallah. So she had come into the nikah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a very young age, and together with that, subhanallah, she served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout her life, dear viewers. Mother of the believers. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Amir al-Sunnah then says, respecting anything associated with the elders is the reward earning act. Everything that is associated with the predecessors, yani pious predecessors, the pious elders, is a holy relic. Allahu Akbar. It's a holy relic. So, what we learn from this two nasiha furthermore that he advises Mu'asab is that firstly, we should be respecting our elders. Having adab and respect for them is also part of the deen. Respecting anything after that, yani, first you respect the person and then you respect the clothes which is on his body. You respect the thing that he touches, or you like the thing that's associated with it. Pehle shakhsiyat se to muhabbat ho. Phir jo cheez us shakhsiyat se connected hai, aap us har cheez se muhabbat karenge, har shay se muhabbat karenge. لیکن آپ اس شے سے محبت کرے اور وہ جو شے ہے جس شخص سے وہ کنیکٹڈ ہے ہمیں اس شخص سے محبت نہیں ہے. Respecting everything that is connected to the friends of Allah, the pious predecessors. Can Maulana Sahib shed light on this?
Yeah, Maulana, you spoke very beautifully where you know, you like someone, and whatever is attached to that person has connection with him, basically. That also naturally you have a special place in your heart for that particular thing, or people that are associated or connected to him. And that is love.
Love.
But on the other hand, we have lust. You don't like the person, but you like what he has.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu
Sometimes
Akbar.
It happens that, you know, somebody doesn't like a particular person, but he likes his money. He wants to inherit whatever he has. So that is lust. So yes, love, alhamdulillah, on one hand, is that's what we're supposed to have towards our elders. Towards the pious predecessors, alhamdulillah. Sayyidina Ghassib Ahmadullah, take for example. And mashallah, there was one instance where somebody from Durban went to Baghdad Sharif, and it was a time of construction at the mazar of Sayyidina Ghassib Ahmadullah. And his Mubarak dome It was being rebuilt, or they were tiling it. They were changing the tiles. So the tiles that were broken off the Gumbad Sharif, they were brought, the pieces were brought, and it was distributed to all of us, alhamdulillah. So only a person who knows the value of it, who has connection with Sayyidina Wasif, one who has no connection to him, it will be just a broken tile.
Allah.
But Allah, to those who have connection with Sayyidina Wasif, to that person, it will be a treasure that you will keep in your safety deposit. Subhanallah. So yes, this is what we learned from our pious predecessors. And Maulana Abdul Siddiqui rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, when he came from the land of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Madina Munawwara, Sayyidi Ala, in respect of him, he laid out the carpet to come and walk, to pay respect to the sand that he may have had attached to his shoes,
yes,
from Madina Munawwara, subhanallah, and to pay respect to that. This is how our pious predecessors, Buzurgan Adin, have shown us to show reverence and respect. So Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, how he would respect his ustad, the way he would respect his ustad, Sayyidina Hammad, that first of all, he named his son after his teacher, Hammad. You wouldn't name your son just anything, you know, it must be
100%,
it must have some sentimental value,
yes,
to you.
Yes.
And then besides that, he never slept facing his feet towards the direction in which the house of his teacher was. That much respect, subhanallah. And Sayyidi Ala as well, he never slept facing his feet towards the Rawza of Sayyidina Wasif Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala.
He also
maintained that love and respect.
It's a very open discussion together with understanding our Islam is so beautiful, Mawlana Sahib. Subhanallah. Our Islam is so beautiful, dear viewers. There's so much more that we could gain if we do not restrict ourselves. If you did not restrict your mind and your brain to yourself through the waswasas of the devil, that perhaps this could become haram and that could become shirk, or this could become bid'ah, because these are the waswasas of the devil, whether or not should I do. These are the things that you should be doing. I mean, from the very Quran, Quran Pak, we learn that where Maryam radiyallahu anha would make her ibadah, that's where Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam had made dua for a son, and he used the maqam and the place as wasila. Just like how Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had sent his shirt for his father, after which when it was placed on his eyesight, it was restored. Tabarruk, relic. It's connected to the friends of Allah azza wa jalla, that even those things then become powerful. Subhanallah. They become the means of giving shifa. They become the means of removing problems. Allahu Akbar. So these parables are filled in the Quran Pak, and this is what Islam teaches us. Tabuti Sakina had what in it, dear viewers? It had the staff of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his Mubarak shoes, the turban of Harun alayhi salam, some scriptures of Tawrat and Zabur, or some scriptures of the previous scriptures had some particles of Man and Salwa, few things. And these things that it contained were belonging to the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam, staff and shoes of Musa alayhi salam, turban of Harun alayhi salam, these are clothes, right? But what the Quran says, that box only contained that. But whenever Bani Israel would go for any battle, they would seek benefit through that box. They would make dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla using the wasila of that box. And a sound would emanate, giving them the signs of victory. So how they would get contentment, and the box name was Tabute Sakina, the box of contentment, the blissful box of sukoon and peace. So they used to get sukoon and peace from the turban Mubarak, from the staff Mubarak, from the chappal Mubarak, from those things that the box contained. In reality, this is the truth. So how did they get sukoon through that? It's because Allah placed the blessings of sukoon inside that. That when they will see this, they will get peace and happiness. Thus, when you see the things connected to the friends of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will also get happiness in your heart. Why? Because they used those things and they used to pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla. For example, Munana Sahib, when we end on this note and we move to the next point, subhanallah, was when people came to Hazrat Khaja Nizamuddin Awliya rahmatullah ali and asked to make dua in Delhi. This is history. It's proven in history, dear viewers, that people came to him and asked to make dua. He did not say how the weather looks like. Was it too hot? Was it too cold? Okay, let's try and look at something. Let's try to make some muraqabah and see what my muridin would say. They came for results, and they knew that this is that court. If we come here, wo jo hum mang rahe wo ho jayega. Wo barish mang rahe. So Hazrat kya farmate hain ki theek hai abhi aate hain. He goes inside, he brings one thread, then he says, in his dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Rahman Rahim. This thread, this cotton, is a piece from the scarf of that woman upon whom no ghair mahram had ever gazed. Mula barzade mula. Allahu Akbar, make it shower, make it rain. Because this thread which I have in my hand is actually belonging to that woman upon whom no stranger had ever casted his sight. No ghair mahram ever seen her. This is a thread from such headscarf. Mola, if you have accepted her, then make it shower and rain. And people have mentioned his dua had not been terminated. Everybody had left whilst being soaked in rain. Soaked in rain. This proves that there was no cloud, there was no signs of rain. But when the friends of Allah Azza wa Jalla ask Allah for anything which is impossible, Allah Kareem will make it possible in this world and in the hereafter. So Tabarrukat has a lot of power, dear viewers of Madinah channel. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, if your niyat is for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, surely you will receive his barakah and blessings as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. Mawlana Sahib, we have like about 5 minutes remaining before we come to the end of the program. And inshallah Azza wa Jalla, yes, though this program is to be continued next week, Wednesday as well, but we have 5 minutes alone, and Amir al-Sunnah has given some beautiful advices on other sunnahs as well, on other items. Masab would like to elaborate on any of the things that we have discussed now, inshallah, Zabajal. It'll be really nice.
Alhamdulillah. Sayyidi, just now we were discussing, before the kalam, I think, on the importance of following Sharia of Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And our pious predecessors, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala in particular, because most of us are affiliated with the Mubarak personality of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, he advised everyone to follow the Sharia.
Kya baat?
He didn't say, do what I do.
Yes.
Follow the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every wali of Allah, whoever is your spiritual guide, or anybody's spiritual guide in its true sense, they all pointed our attention in one direction. They all pointed to one road that can lead us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, all four schools of thought, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, they all point our attention to that road of Sharia that takes us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, plus Qadri, all the spiritual orders, Qadri, Suhrawardin, Naqshbandi, right, Chishti, they all point us towards that same road that can take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, there is no difference. Whether it is the side of Sharia, meaning the laws and the fiqh and so on, from the schools of thought, and then the spiritual streams that are Qadri, Chishti, Suhrawardin, Naqshbandi, all are pointing us to one direction, and that is to join this road, this qafila, that can take us on this road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And that road is the Sharia of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sharia in technically, it means, in literal sense, it means road or path.
Right. Okay.
And when we refer to Sharia, it is actually shortened version of Ash-Shariatul Muhammadiyah, meaning the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then there is a beautiful narration, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the sand once he drew a straight line. And he said, this is the path of Allah. And then he drew some other lines on the right and the left. He said, these are the paths where shaitan is sitting.
Allah.
And he's inviting people towards their path. But you must remain on this path because this is the path of Allah. And Sayyidi Al-Hazr says that this path of Sharia, this is the same path of Sharia. To remain steadfast on that path, we make dua 5 times a day. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And to make this dua is wajib, because to read Surah Fatiha is wajib. Subhanallah. And Imam Qushayri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he very beautifully says, Sayyidi, that he says that all roads for creation are closed except that path which one follows, which possesses the sign of the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the path of Sharia. Meaning a path that doesn't have the imprints of the blessed footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to join that path.
Allahu Akbar. As Munasa was speaking, I was just recalling and contemplating over the fact that it's wajib to read Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah.
Alhamdulillah.
And together with that, as Munasa mentioned, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim is this ayah which we recite in every Salah. in every rakat. And that's how important it is to ask Allah all the time to keep us on the righteous path. And after making this dua, how many times in a day, Mullah Sahib, in every salah, yet we still find the person going astray.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. And this is for each and every person, Mullah Sahib, that we find, we all know as to how much are we drowned into sins. After making this dua, Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha, and Tahajjud, Salah, and any other salah you read, this is what you're asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for all the time, to be having guidance on the righteous path, for us to have death on Islam, and for us to wake up on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. This is our struggle, and this is what each and every person should be thriving for. And the only time you can attain this, I would say, achievement, the only time a person can attain this is Mulana Sahib, when he will fully follow the laws of Sharia. The laws of Islam brought to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he leaves this world, he departs from this world upon the same Sharia, meaning he follows the same Sharia. He doesn't make his own Sharia, he doesn't follow the Sharia of others, he doesn't follow the rules of others, he follows the rules which Islam has given him all his life. These are those rules which will guide you in all walks of life. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the lawmaker, and he set and made such rules that if you follow the rules of Allah Azza wa Jalla on this planet, those rules will always keep you on track, leading all the way to Jannah, inshallah. And you will enter into Jannah through the sadaqah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ever grateful to Mulana Sahib, as usual, Mulana Sahib, that you take our time and you be part and parcel of these programs. May Allah bless you abundantly. Barakallah. Shukran to all the viewers of Madinah Channel for joining us, for watching this program. And this was the advices given by Amir Sunnat, Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Radhabi Damat Barakatum Al Aliya. We make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. He extends his shadow above our heads, granting healthy, happy, long life. Ameen Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Until next time, dear viewers, keep reciting durood and salawat upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.